And we are live. Welcome, folks, to episode 3,595. That has a ring to it, to me anyway. I like those numerical patterns, 3,595. And it is a Tuesday. It is December the 10th, 2024. That means the daggone year is almost over. Have you thought about that? I kind of lectured you a little bit yesterday about starting, like, improving your life yesterday instead of waiting for the new year. But the other side of it is the new year is coming, and that means this year is ending. Tick tock, tick tock. The clock ticks for us all. You're either building more self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and independence and liberty into your life, or life itself is moving you backward. I haven't said that for a while, and as I was doing the intro today, I was like, you know what? It is time for it. I'm being complimented on my jacket here. My jacket's actually a Walmart jacket that I ended up really liking. I think it was like 18 bucks. I was actually down at one of our sponsors' events today, John Bush. I think I was down there for Exit and Build, and we had an outdoor dinner, and I had a really heavy coat, but I didn't have a light coat, and it was going to be kind of cold during that outdoor dinner that I didn't know we were going to have an outdoor dinner, and I wanted layers, so I ran into Walmart and picked it up, and son of a gun if I didn't end up liking it. Anyway. Not really that it's that important. What are we going to talk about today? Today's title is When Trust Burns, Truth Emerges. And I won't go deep into the individual thing, but really what got me on this one today was a few things. But one was a new report saying that the Arctic will be ice-free by, you guessed it, 2027. And I just thought about how many times we've heard that. And then I read the responses to it, and the ratio was brutal. Usually when you get these climate alarmist posts, you get at least some people saying, it really is true, it's going to happen. We need to get the climate tonight. It was just brutal in the other direction. Post after post of screenshot after screenshot of alarmist claim after alarmist claim spanning about 50 years of this nonsense. And I went, you know, people are waking up. And I'm listening to people that maybe are seeing conspiracies even where they aren't at, but that's a natural response to constant and continuous lies. If you want to go back to like the pinnacle of trust in government in America, even though there was a lot wrong and there were some people pushing back against it, it probably would be for the average person in the 1950s. Felt that even when government was wrong, they were doing their best. And from there has been an unwinding all the way. That was kind of the peak of the last high in the cycle, if you buy into the theory of the fourth turning, even if you don't fully, and I don't fully, there is something to these cycles of ebb and flow of trust in government, of coalescing of society, and breaking down and rebuilding on the other side. And as I was looking at it, I was also thinking about, like, you know, Daniel Penny being released, which was a good thing. But then, of course, immediately the race baiter says because he's white and they think it's okay to kill black people or some stupid shit. And how many people are beating that down, including a lot of people that are African-Americans beating that down instead of just going along with the narrative. And I've seen this over and over again. And so I posted something. I posted a thing that said, people are losing faith in our institutions, the media, the government, big pharma, big all of it, the judicial system, et cetera. And that's not a bad thing. And of course, several people, including one of my very close friends, showed up and said, oh, it's all by design. They're doing it on purpose. And it's going to be technocracy next. And I have a whole segment on that today about, you know, our autistic libertarian friends. And I consider myself a libertarian, by the way, but I'm a pure libertarian, making me an anarchist. And what I think has happened to a lot of libertarians is they can't, like I said, we're heading up to the election. They can't handle winning at all. They're addicted to losing. So when they lose, they win something, they don't know how to respond. And I looked at all of this and said, you know what? This is a good topic for today, especially this time of year as we're heading toward the end of the year. Let's go out. You know, I'm going to disappear in a couple of weeks, a couple of days before Christmas, and I won't come back till after the new year. I did the work on the count and looking at the calendar, and I'm going to have a really long holiday vacation this year. And I thought, let's do some sizzle before we end, even though I alluded yesterday that we might not. So we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff today. we've been taught that we should want to trust government and institutions, but is it true? Has it ever worked out that way? We're going to go through a number of, categories of institutions and groups and oligarchs that we're supposed to trust and why we don't. And then we're going to talk about why that's a good thing if we capitalize it. We're going to talk about our full retard, if not at least severely autistic libertarian friends. And again, I put myself in that group. Okay, I'm on the spectrum. I would have been diagnosed at least ADD or ADHD if it existed when I was. I was a classic Asperger's person. I'm not really picking on people, but I do think that people can go to extremes. So we're going to talk about how people get to those extremes where they become myopic and they can't see, but yet they still have a point that we do need to listen to. And what the conclusion from all this needs to be, if we are to capitalize while our enemy, and I do use that word, our enemy is currently in a weakened state due to their own incompetence, stupidity, and such greed of malice that they overshot the mark in just about every place that it could be overshot. And then we'll end with some final thoughts about contributing or attributing to malice what can be explained through incompetence and a realization that nothing is more corrupt but also incompetent than the state. And history shows this. Before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is Anton's Land of Biltong. Life is too short for average. I agree with that. Anton makes amazing biltong, amazing dry sausages known as Duors. And Kalbanazi is another sausage that they make there. You should really check out Anton's site. Pick up some of this stuff. I'll just give you a warning. You know, like the warning on cigarettes or alcohol. This product may be addictive. It's actually good for your health, so that's okay. But it may drain your wallet down a little bit if you start trying this stuff. You can also learn how to make it yourself. But if you want to know if you're doing it right, eat some from somebody that makes it right first. And it's Christmas. There ain't no one that likes meat that's going to be upset if you hand them a pouch of Biltong for Christmas. So if you're looking for Christmas gifts, while I did put out a Christmas list yesterday of items from T-Spaz and some other stuff, I said, remember all the MSB supporters and sponsors, and Anton's one of both, and he's definitely worth checking out. Next up today, this fits right in with what we're talking about, even though John can be one of those autistic libertarians that I mentioned and kind of Eeyore, it's all by design. He actually means really well. What he's afraid of is when people point it out that they have false hope, and I don't. And I think by now, John and all of y'all should know that as well. But John is really good at status jujitsu. He's put together a Freedom Trinity webinar where you can learn how to defy the state wide in the open using a three-part framework that forms a bridge from the matrix to the private realm. Works in all 50 states plus Canada, Mexico, and the United Kingdom. Here's the beauty. You can take this webinar for free. All you got to do is jump on over and sign up for it. Remember, links to everything are in the video notes below, and any links to anything I mentioned today that are not in the video notes below, there's one link right at the beginning, and if you use that link, then you'll get over to the audio version of this where all the resources, everything I talk about is all available to you, except if you click that link while we're live, it won't be there because some of you need some help. We're not done yet. It can't possibly be there until the show's done because that's the recorded version of it. All right, so let's dig into this. Again, I want to just start off with, you know, where we are and how we've gotten here. And a fallacy that is not, you know, one of the logical fallacies that are famous, but a fallacy nonetheless. And that fallacy is we've been taught that we should just trust in government. We have been taught that we should want to trust in government and institution. But is it true? But is it true? Remember Stafford Beer? The purpose of the system is what it does, and there is no point in arguing for what it's supposed to do, other than what actually comes out the end is the purpose of the system. Whether it was an intentional design or an incompetent design, the purpose of the system is what it does. If you build a machine, it's supposed to produce round 10 millimeter thick discs that are 4 inches in diameter. And what comes out the other end are, you know, 10 millimeter thick squares. It doesn't matter that you designed it to make the circles. It makes squares. So the purpose of the machine is make the squares. So let me ask you something. Over any significant period of time, has it ever worked out for people to trust their government and their government institutions? And if, again, if I said, if you think back to the last high period, it would have been mainly the 50s, but about 1945 to 1965. Now, keep in mind during this, we had actual government sanctioned racism and open overt racism. But let's take that as a time specific problem due to the politics that led up to it and the happenstance of humanity. Let's give it, I'm not saying it was ever okay, but for the sake of this discussion in that 20 year period, let's pluck that out, put it on the shelf as though it was never there. And I will still ask you, at that high point of American society where government seemed to be working and there were more programs that were helping more people, like in their retirement years and helping with training and the GI Bill and the Army College Fund and building the interstate system, and blue collar guys could go to work and support a family of four or five or even six on one income, and mom's day, and it was all just great. Did it work out to trust those systems of government long term? And I will say that they led directly to stagflation of the 70s, the absolute lunacy of YOLO of the 80s, a pretty decent 90s. The 90s out of this whole time frame are probably the best time in America. It's not seen as a high, but everybody was getting along. We had really discarded this entire race-baiting bullshit except for a few voices that never went away. If you wanted a job, you could get a job. Was it as good economically as the 50s were for working-class people? No, but it was pretty decent. The 90s, I grew up really in the 90s as a young adult. It was a pretty good time to be alive. I think most of you that were around, in fact, even CNN made a documentary series about the 90s called The 90s, The Last Great Decade. Innovations were coming, but did it work out? Did it work out to trust those institutions of government across, you know, half a human lifetime, 50 years? The answer is no. The answer is no. Every problem we have today that seems like it's new has its genesis in the high, the 45 to 65 period, where all the foundations were laid of government believing it could do things that it was incapable of doing. Now, here's an interesting dynamic that no one talks about. When people in authority with power and money overshoot their commitments and the things that justify their actions, and they put things in place that work for a time, the longer they work, the bigger everything around them gets and the more people depend on them in the system and from the system. And the more that system will be justified despite its failings, and the more we'll say, well, we can't get rid of it. It's a complete fucking disaster. No, maybe we should get rid of it. No, we got to fix it. I want you to think of it like a house. You inherit a house from your uncle. It's free and clear. You owe no money on it. It's on a nice piece of land. Let's say it's got 5-ish, 10-ish acres. This house was built in about 1855. No one has lived in it for 40 years. You look at it and the roof is literally caving in on itself and it's leaning to the side. When you walk into what's left of it, you smell mold and you smell fungus. There are rat nests everywhere, but the rats have moved on because they have done what they can with the place and they've given up. And your best friend says, wow, man, they don't build them like this anymore. It would be a shame to destroy this house. We should rehabilitate it and fix it and rehab it. What would you say to your friend? I would say this to my friend. Great, give me $1 million of your money free and clear, and I'll think about it. The next phone call I would be making is to somebody with dump trucks and an excavator to smash it down, put it in a burn pile, and haul away what I can't burn and get rid of the fucking thing and build a new house or sell the underlying piece of land. And anybody with a brain, oh, I love that, Mick. I'm gonna talk about that in just a second because the irony of that is delicious. But anybody with a brain, anybody with any economic sense at all in that situation would say, this house needs a gas can and a pack of matches. It doesn't need to be fixed. No one would say, but it's a house and houses are sacred, right? But have you noticed how much words are now being used to describe government institutions, financial institutions, even just traditional belief systems of the state? Precious. I've heard that word so many times recently. I like, is that a new word for the establishment to shove down our throats? Our precious institutions, right? You know, I'm looking for, like, it's almost like they're sacramental or something. There's another word they use a lot of, but precious is so stupid. The fact that I just said it out loud, my brain won't go find these other words that they're using, right? As though these things are so sacred. Sacred and precious are like the new words du jour to describe things like our cherished is another one. Thank you, Green Country. Hallowed halls of Congress. Sacred, cherished, right? They're using these words like we're talking about a fucking religion. Because to them, it is a religion. Statism is the most deadly religion that's ever existed. These things need to be torn asunder. And here's what 229 Mick said. You're too ignorant to understand how well the Department of Education works. So the Department of Education makes sure that you're educated, and yet you're too ignorant to understand how important it is. It's delicious, Mick, that you put that together that way. Thank you. Green Country says it's a damn cult. It is. And the natural result of realizing you cannot trust centralized information is important here. What do you do when you just take a subject that I don't have to convince you that you can't trust them with? And whether that them is science, doctors, the government, the judiciary, the police, the military, the news, whoever. Just pick any one of those that you're fully convinced, I can't trust anything that comes out of my mouth. What is your natural conclusion once you realize that? I was hoping somebody would give me that in the chat. I don't know. We're probably like only 5 to 10 seconds delayed. What do you naturally do, for instance, when you know you can't trust the drug companies anymore and you have an illness you're fighting? What do you do when you know you can't trust the news anymore and they say something that seems important, but you want to know what's really going on? What do you do? What is the natural result? The natural result is you seek out the information independently if it's important to you. The minute you know I cannot accept what CNN and Fox News are saying about this, but yet it's something that is important to me, you say, so I need to go out and figure it out. And this is great because what it does is it creates this situation where we literally have hundreds of millions of people at this point all looking at individual threads of this tapestry that's designed to create an image for us that's completely untrue. And everybody individually is picking a thread or two to pull on. Well, there's only a certain amount of time that those threads can be pulled on before the whole tapestry falls apart. We're on the precipice of that right now. And this is why the establishment is freaking out. And yes, they're blaming Orange Man. But here's the thing. If there were no Orange Man, it might slow down the thread pulling, but nothing can stop it at this point. This whole thing is going to be flushed down the toilet. And trust in our institutions, our government, the media, etc., is not only at an all-time low, it's an all-time declination angle. It is not the trust deficiency is not slowing down at all. It's accelerating. It's like a stock graph, except instead of one where you're making money, you're going bankrupt. And we literally have people hitting rock bottom with it every day. And you say, well, once people have no faith, it can't get any worse. But it can, because how many people have no faith? The total number of people saying, I don't trust any of this shit at all, period, anymore. Zero. Even when I agree with it, I don't trust it. I have to verify it. That number is getting higher and higher and higher on a daily basis. And it's right now probably higher than it's ever been. And there's never been a time where it's easier to find alternative information and get as many views as possible so that you can put them all together and have a better actual view of the situation. And when they say, well, don't do your own research, trust the experts, one, all they're doing is clinging on to their power. But there's another way to look at it. Let's imagine that you're in a room, well, a pretty big room, 20 foot by 20 foot. So, and it's just a square. And there's something going on outside of the room is a building, right? And there's something going on outside of there. And what everybody's telling you to do is look out window number one and window number two. Now, let's say that there is some accuracy to what you see through those two windows. But given we're talking about 20-foot walls, let's say we have a window every 5 foot all the way around, right? So we've got four windows per wall. We have 16 windows, and what they're telling you is don't look out the other 14 windows. We have identified the two windows that tell you what's really going on. Well, the reality is when you look out those two windows, there's factual components to what you see, but when you look out the other freaking 14 windows, you have a better interpretation of the total, and now you can make up your mind independently. Well, the people that have told you which windows to look out of, they don't like this. They don't like this at all. And they say, what you're seeing out that window isn't real. Well, of course it's fucking real. And what they say is you are not to be. They know it's real. They know that window's real. And they know what's going on out there is actually happening. What they're saying is you're too fucking stupid to be trusted to put the 16 pieces of information together yourself. You have to trust them to tell you the ones that are really important. And that is just collapsing. It's absolutely collapsing. So let's talk about the areas where this has happened specifically. When I was putting this show today together, I started gathering a bunch of links and shit, and I said, fuck it. I'm not going to do that. If you question anything I'm about to say, then do what I just said. Go find the other 14 windows and make your own mind up. I don't want to tell you what to think. Right? I like to talk to people about how to think. I like to tell people how to think. I hate telling people what to think. If I tell you how to think, unlike these fucking scum, what I'm saying is I trust in your innate human ability that when you're ready to learn and you begin to explore, that you'll find a conclusion that may not be the same as my own, but it'll be better than where you are at present. That's called faith in humanity. I have a lot of faith in humanity. I have almost no faith in humans acting together with an objective and an agenda, because the agenda, iron law of bureaucracy, always exceeds the individual person's altruism. And that's why I believe in individuals working with individual incentives is the best way to collective good. Okay? Very, very simple. Because when you're an asshole in a society that doesn't protect assholes, your assholism only goes so far before you run into the grand equation of FAFO. Yeah. So let's look at a few ways. Pharmaceuticals. Okay. The pharmaceutical, is there anybody out there that you in general trust Pfizer, Merck, et cetera, Bayer, all of them? Anybody? Say me if you do. And we'll see if anybody says that while I talk about them. I bet you can't. And if you don't, say I don't. In the live stream. Got 130 people now. Let's get some people. Either I do or I don't. Put that in your live stream for me, and we'll see if anybody says they trust the pharmaceutical companies at all. And don't do it facetiously like you trust them to be a snake because you know they're a snake. I know what you're doing if you do that. Do you actually trust what they say? I don't. Here it comes in, right? These companies profit off your illness. None of them profit off your wellness. This is a fact. This is a fact. There is nothing that they've ever made that they've heavily marketed and patented and protected and did all their wonderful shit with and lined up with freaking remixed pop songs into jingles that you take once or for 4 or 5 days, it cures your illness, it fights the infection, whatever, and then you go on about your life. Now, they've actually, especially during the high, made some things that do that, but they never market them. Isn't that funny? Ivermectin, I'm not even talking about COVIDs here. Ivermectin is an incredibly effective medication for the things that it works for. It's an antiparasitic, and it has some antiviral properties, and it works very well in the places that it works. Have you ever seen a commercial for it? It's also cheap, been around for a long time. Hydroxychloroquine has probably saved more lives in this world than any other single individual medication because it disrupts malaria infection. It is sold over the counter throughout the world. Have you ever seen an advertisement for it? Some of our antibiotics have saved millions, if not billions, of life. Have you ever seen an advertisement for penicillin or ampicillin or erythromycin? Do you see what's common in those drugs? They are taken for an acute, not a chronic problem. They resolve the problem, or more accurately, they aid the body in solving the problem. By killing the infection, they allow the body's natural defenses to take over and finish the job. Sometimes with antibiotics, for instance, it's a really good idea to replenish your positive bacteria in your body after taking them, but they do work. But no one markets them or advertises them. You've never seen a fat lady dance through the field to sell you penicillin, have you? Or any other antibiotic that actually works. But something you're going to take for the rest of your life, well, that you have a fat lady with type 2 diabetes dancing around while she's eating Subway sandwiches and passing them out to the whole freaking office telling you you'll lower your A1C, but it doesn't make you well and it doesn't solve a problem. So people have seen enough of that that they know they cannot trust the pharmaceutical companies. And when they come out with something that actually is really effective for something like cancer or something, they make sure it costs about $10,000 a pill, and they make sure that there's no way that anybody else can make it. You notice that. Like if you come out with this really great cancer medication that actually does help, it'll cost $10,000 a dose or $10,000 a week or something like that, and it's uber patented and no one can make anything like it. But everybody has a fucking GLP-1. Think about that. Think about how many drugs are so patented that only one manufacturer makes them, and they can corner the market for 20 plus years until the patent runs out and becomes a generic. And then they just brush it aside, change one little thing, and rename it and do it all over again. But those are drugs that are usually short duration and low number of people using them at any given time. But you come out with something that a person's going to inject in their body for the rest of their lives, and all of a sudden all these companies are like, well, you can call it something else, and you can do, and there's like 40 different GLP-1s you can take, and they're basically all the same thing, and they're all expensive as fuck. Almost like there's some sort of cabal where they say, look, we won't interfere with you, you don't interfere with us, but we got to keep the price up. That's a crime, by the way. We'll get to the judicial system in a minute. How about the news? The news have openly lied to you. All the media has openly lied to you so many times in the past 5 years. I swear to God, I don't like to just insult people just for the hell of it. But if you trust anything that comes out of the mouth of the news, and I'm not saying it's all not true, I'm saying if you trust it before you verify it, you are certifiable idiot at this point. A full-on ID-10-T parts manual number idiot. You are an idiot if you listen to the news and go, and especially if it sounds like that's a little bit strange or weird or extreme, and you just go, well, it must be true because so-and-so in the nice skirt said so. She flicked her hair when she said it. You're like the people that think the stripper likes them. If you trust the media at this point. In fact, you're worse. the stripper might actually like you. It's unusual, but you never know. Strippers have boyfriends. Sometimes they meet them at the strip club. Once in a while, it actually happens. You can never trust the media. If they're telling you the truth, it's either by accident or by design so that you believe the lie. How do you get somebody to believe the time when the time is wrong? You set the clock back 10 to 15 minutes, and if they haven't checked the time in a while, they'll believe it. If you set the clock back 5 hours, people look and go, that's something wrong with that clock. So the media has lied. They lied about just about every word they said about Trump. Even if you hate him, if you're honest with yourself, you know it was a lie. The Fine People hoax, the bloodbath hoax, the Russia collusion hoax, all of it was lies. This is not a defense of the orange man. This is an attack on the media for their lies. They also told you, what about Joe Biden? Oh, this is the best Biden ever. And fuck you if you can't accept that. Joe Scarborough said that. He's as much mainstream media as anybody could be. He's the best Biden ever. 2 months before a complete breakdown and them all going, we got to get rid of him. You think they didn't know? You think they didn't know? Come on. And then they told you how smart and articulate and accomplished Cackles was. They told you, back to the drug stuff, hydroxychloroquine was so dangerous, it should only be used in a hospital. I'm quoting now. Only in a hospital under the supervision of a doctor, despite the fact that it's given as an outpatient medication at a rate of 60,000 doses a day by the Veteran Affairs Office alone. It's used for countless things all over the world. And the doctors shouldn't be writing prescriptions off-label. Doctors write prescriptions off-label 1,000 million times a day. They lie. They lied about everything. They lied just a few days ago when there was a fucking earthquake in California. I watched them do it. I watched them lie about the video they were playing while they were playing the video. Here's what they did. They had a helicopter flying around Northern California. There was an earthquake. At least that part was true. There's a tsunami warning. That's what they said. Fox News, right? The conservative news, the real news, the one you can trust. There's a tsunami warning and people are taking it very seriously. And I look at the video. The cars are slowly going up and down the Pacific Highway. There's 100 cars parked at the beach. There's a couple dozen people walking up and down the beach. The cameraman on the helicopter must be hearing what's being said because all of a sudden he pans over to and he videos a tidal pool as though it's the beginning of a tsunami. There was never going to be a tsunami from that earthquake. Anybody that lived in that place that's been through this shit knew the magnitude of the earthquake and the location of the earthquake, it was never going to happen. And then they start their shit. Well, you never know if it could build by the time it moves south down to like San Francisco. The Bay Area really needs it. And then they said, you need to get out now. And then 10 minutes later, they said, well, they're canceling the warning. And we cut. The first indication of that was no waves, but this is a good thing. I watched them lie in real time over 10 minutes. Well, the video they were talking about didn't match what they were saying. How about the real-time death counters during COVID? Does anybody believe that those real-time death counters had any link whatsoever to reality? You say yes if you believe it, no if you didn't in the live chat. If you do not believe that the real-time death counters had any link to reality at all, put no in the live chat. We'll see how many no's come in. I'm sure those are about to flood in like a bitch right now. They lied about everything. So why would you trust them? Okay, let's move on while I wait for those no's to come in. How about federal? Here comes no, laugh out loud, no, no, nope, no. They just, of course you don't believe them. Why would you? Why would you? How could you possibly know that? But I want you to, for those of you that are like, no, no, I want you to think how many of you, probably half the people saying no, you believed that at the time. Why'd you believe it? I'm not picking on you. I understand you were scared. We didn't know. But if you now that you have clarity, now that you're not emotional, now that you can be logical about it, you realize there is no mechanism by which that number could be linked to anything in real time. When we actually started getting data in, it was all delayed by weeks and months even, their official numbers. But yet, 5 days into it, why would we trust them? Federal and state governments. Here's what federal and state governments have done. And I'm not even talking about Orange Man here. He's just the most famous example. They have prosecuted the innocent. Daniel Penny is a perfect example of prosecuting the innocent. No sane prosecutor would have taken that case and expected a conviction nonetheless, but they figured New York City juries believe the state above all things, so they expected to get one, even though they knew the guy was innocent. But we have had innocent, knowingly innocent people prosecuted for decades. That's why things like the Innocence Project actually find people that can prove are innocent. And often, when you really look at how they prove it, you see there was malfeasance upon the prosecutors who never face a consequence. Has anyone here ever seen a conviction turned over, obviously seen there was some malfeasance, withholding of evidence, etc., by the prosecution? Bet everybody's seen that if you paid attention. But have you ever seen a prosecutor face consequence for it? If you're aware of one, let me know, because I have not. So they do this constantly, nonstop. Builder of Castles says Cackles hid evidence herself. She was rewarded with the vice presidency and a Senate seat and almost the fucking presidency. And Cackles absolutely hid evidence that would have exonerated innocent people, and she's just one example. At the same time that they prosecuted the innocent, they failed to prosecute the guilty consistently. I won't even get into it. You know what I'm talking about. They allowed riots to occur, just permitted riots. And this, again, federal and state level. They've left our borders wide open. And I don't want to hear your sad-ass stories about poor Mexicans coming here to pick fucking corn. That's not what I'm talking about, and you know it. And people that want to come here, actual migrant workers, migrant means you come and you leave, that want to work in agriculture, there's a whole program for that. Don't worry. You close the border down tighter than a monkey's butthole tomorrow, okay? Tighter than a monkey's butthole dropped into a lion's den. And you will still have immigrant labor to pick your freaking vegetables, you lazy fuck that won't do it for yourself. Okay? It'll be okay. They've left it wide open to people with multiple criminal things on their record, serious, violent criminals. We have repeatedly reported people who keep coming back, and they're protected, especially by state and city governments. Okay? They have started wars. All over the world, we have instigated conflicts that were unnecessary, costing billions and billions, trillions of dollars in money, American blood along with American treasure, and destabilized and overthrown governments, and I could go on. The whole reason we have the problem we do in Ukraine, no matter what your TV tells you, remember not to trust those fuckers, is because the United States government intentionally overthrew a democratically elected president in Ukraine in 2014. That started the current phase of the shitstorm that we're in right now with Ukraine. All we had to do was not. We used a propaganda apparatus orchestrated by the CIA, who then abandoned their own operatives stuck in Ukraine when it happened and left them to fend for themselves. Yeah, so I don't think we should trust the federal or state government. How about science? When we talk about COVID, the scientists got literally everything wrong. They didn't get anything right. It came from a weird animal no anybody heard of from a wet market, even though it was down the road from a bioresearch laboratory that specifically researches COVID viruses, coronaviruses. Yeah, that makes sense. And anybody that said anything about that laboratory was violently, it's not just told to shut up, violently attacked for it, deplatformed for it. It's a reasonable question, but you couldn't even ask it, right? Science has also said we're going to have an ice-free Arctic, and it was coming in 5 to 10 years, but they've been saying that for 40 years. We've had 10 years to act since 1989, and somehow we still have 10 years to act. One question about some of these dates, like when they said in 2007 the Arctic would be ice-free in the summer by 2013, go to PolitiFact, and they say it didn't happen while they acknowledge that it happened. Like they literally say, no, Al Gore didn't say it, even though here's an op-ed he wrote saying it, but he didn't really mean it because what he meant is it could, because he was citing scientists who said it that admitted they could be wrong. But when I looked at this, what the scientists said that Al Gore was parroting this shit from, the way they said they could be wrong is they said, if anything, Our estimate of 2013, and they said this in 2007, could be overly conservative. And guess what just happened? Just today, there's an article out. The article will be ice-free by 2027. Do they even write new articles anymore? Or do they just change the date at the end of the headline? Because that's what it feels like to me. So I don't think we should trust them with that, right? Their recommended diets have caused multiple epidemics in society. I'm not going to hang autism on to them, and I'm not going to say it's seed oils or it's high-fructose corn syrup or it's vaccines. I believe it is a combination of those things plus things like microplastics, all of which they get at least some blame for. But I'm going to stick to the things that are incontrovertible. Obesity, type 2 diabetes, low testosterone resulting in lowered birth rates. All of that is an absolute direct result of our diet, at least in part, if not in full. If not in full. Well, people used to exercise more. No, they didn't. They, see, the problem when you say shit like this to people that are 50 years old, or older, is we remember like the 70s and the early 80s. And we know not everybody was running around doing pull-ups and push-ups and jogging all the time. There were fitness people and non-fitness people. You know what you do remember, though? Being like 8 years old and going to the beach and there weren't no fat asses anywhere. You remember getting on an airplane and never being like, oh, shit, that person's in my seat from their seat because half of my seat is occupied by their gut. If you when you remember being in high school like I did in the 80s, and you say, I remember the fat kid. Most of you that are probably 45 or older, if I said, who was the fat kid in your high school, can give me a name, a specific person. I hate to say it, but he's passed anyway. Jason Kochick was, and I was friends with him, but he was the fat kid in Pottsville High School. And I'm not talking about my senior class. I'm saying across, like by the time I was a senior, across the 4 years, if somebody said the fat kid in a high school with about 900 people in the high school, they said, oh, Jason. Okay. And Hudson said he had two. Probably name at least one of them. You think a kid in a high school of any size today, if you said, hey, who's the fat kid, is going to give you a single name? They might even give you a name. You say, is he the only one? Oh, no, there's lots of them. That's the one I know. Science did this. We were all taught how to eat in fucking school. They gave us the pyramid. We had health class. They said to eat this shit. And you know what people did? They ate the shit they were told to eat, and this is what happened. So maybe we shouldn't trust science. What have they gotten right? What have they gotten right that directly applies to your life? If you can think of something, put it down there. I'm not going to say they got everything wrong, but most of the things that impact the individual on a daily basis that you have control over, they might be really good at telling you this little microbe and this little microbe get together and do this thing. Okay? But they're not good at telling you the things that you need to do or what you need to believe or what you need to trust, are they? Let's keep going. How about right out of science, we go into doctors and big medicine, not just pharmaceutical. When I say big medicine, I'm talking about the hospitals, the device manufacturers, the whole giant medical industry independent of pharmaceuticals. The people that prescribe the medication instead of the ones that make it. All right. What have they gotten wrong? They went completely along with science and pharma. So if you say you can't trust pharma and you can't trust big science, you can't trust the people that do their bidding. But it's more than that. They ignore their customer feedback. How many of you, say me in the live chat, I don't see how many me's come in, have gone to your doctor and told them something you've experienced and they've written you off? They've either, like, it's a symptom and they said it doesn't matter. You took a drug and it gave you a side effect. They told you something like it was in your head or it's not worth worrying about. You changed your diet and started to lose weight and they told you it was still unhealthy. Anything like that. Just say me. Right? They ignore their patients. They ignore what you tell them about your own life. They ignore your own lived experience. Imagine any other provider of a service to you that did that. Imagine you take your car, your Toyota car, to your Toyota dealership, to your Toyota mechanic, and you say, when I turn to the left, the car makes a clunking sound. And it's not the one where the mechanic gets in and can't replicate it. I understand it. What if the service writer just looked at you and said, that's normal. Don't worry about it. It's all in your head. The car is fine. He hasn't even looked at it yet. The technician hadn't looked at it yet. Doctors do this shit to their patients all the time. Doctors have become two things. Jaded, because people do exaggerate or lie or deceive. Okay, that's part of it. Dr. House was right. Everybody lies. But the other thing they've become is under control. They make the most money by following the system of incentives that they've been given, and those incentives do not come from their patients. This is why if you want good medical care, the doctors themselves aren't the problem, the system they operate in. The minute you go outside the system, you get good medical care. I haven't met a person yet who has a direct primary care physician who doesn't take any insurance, isn't bound by anything he's told to do by the system, other basic medical licensing requirements, that's unhappy with their doctor. Not one. Not one. Not a single fucking one. So why would you deal with a doctor in the system if the system is the problem? Why? Because my insurance covers it. Your insurance covers you getting sicker, getting poor quality care. And when you really need your insurance, they turn you down. I'm just saying, right? It's me is coming in. Okay. Green Country Agroforestry says, not me, because he shot for a doctor of holistic medicine for his GP. But did it happen to you before you did that? And that's why you went and did that? You know, that's what I'm saying. We got somebody saying me carnivore, a bunch of stuff. People saying that they've had that experience with doctors. So they deny the results that you can see with your own eyes. Isn't that amazing? I've talked to people that said, I started doing keto, carnivore, some version thereof. My doctor was opposed to it. I've been doing it for 2 years. All my numbers are better. I've lost a bunch of weight, and I'm in great health. My blood pressure is good, and my doctor still tells me that my diet is unhealthy. How can you trust someone that denies what's right in front of them? How can you? The idea that they don't know is out the window, so you can't trust big medicine. You can't trust doctors in the system, period. You might rely on them, but you can't trust them. Those are different. Those are different. How about the military? The biggest thing the military did to lose faith in people isn't the wars they fight, because people who have a brain and an IQ over like 85 understand the military goes and does what it's told to do, where it's told to do it, by people that are not in the military. Okay? That normal, sane people understand that those soldiers that were in Afghanistan for 20 years didn't fucking want to be there. Okay? They understand that. It's bureaucrats and pseudo-military members, because these generals that end up in these high bureaucratic positions, they're not military people anymore. They become bureaucrats. So I'm going to give them a pass on that shit. But how about adopting and embracing DEI? Now, I know that directly came from above, but boy, it was embraced by a lot of people in the middle. And I know that for a fact. DEI has destroyed faith in the military. And because of that, the Army alone missed its recruiting target by 60% last cycle. 60% lower. It's never been this bad. It's never been this bad. DEI is just a death sentence to anybody that embraces it. The only way they've been able to get away with it so long is you have to pay for it, whether you want to or not, with your own money, because they'll steal your money from you. They call it taxes. The price we pay for a civilized society is a woke military. Yay. They also, though, as part of DEI, and this is true insanity, they made an enemy out of the primary demographic that has historically fought their wars. Now, I'm not saying there's not a lot of Hispanics and not a lot of black people that have served in combat. I don't mean it that way. But if you just look at the percentile of numbers, the primary demographic that serves in the military in combat MOSs over the last 150 years has been white rural males. They have made the white Rural male, the epitome of enemy. And then they don't understand why the people that they always relied on to be the core of their military aren't joining anymore. What 19-year-old male with enough testosterone in his body and enough physical health and capability in his body to be a good soldier is going to look at a man wearing a skirt as a general and say, I want to be part of that? Almost none. Hence, they've lost faith, not just in people having faith in the military, because it's probably of all the institutions today, people that aren't part of it probably have the most faith in it. Well, our military is awesome. And we do have some amazing capabilities. And we do have still have some very lethal soldiers. But overall, the faith in the military can be directly correlated with the number of people willing to serve. And that number has hit rock fucking bottom across all branches. And it's a direct result of this bullshit. And it's stupid. Why would you do it? They've also ruined the careers of officers and NCOs just a few years from retirement to scrape a little bit away, not even a rounding error in the military budget, so they don't get that old style retirement. Everybody's on this new 401k shit right now. I have a good friend right now being totally fucked over by the Army because they want to promote him. But if they promote him, he's going to get his enlistment extended 6 years. And if he turns it down, they'll throw him out with like 2.5 years left in his retirement, and he'll get nothing. Why would you trust an organization that would do that? Why can't the United States Army say, hey, you know what, Master Sergeant, First Sergeant, you've given a lot of your life here. If you want to continue this way for a few more years for the retirement we promised you, that's fine. No. We're going to fuck you. Gee, I can't figure out why they can't recruit. And let's finish with courts and judges. Courts and judges, they constantly enforce unconstitutional laws that they know are unconstitutional. Any judge that knowingly enforces an unconstitutional law should be thrown off the bench immediately and go to prison, by the way. And again, when I say prison, I want you to understand, I do not use jail and prison interchangeably. You stay in prison a lot longer than you stay in jail. And it's a lot less of a comfortable place to be. Judges that knowingly enforce unconstitutional laws should go to prison. Prison. And if they enforce a law that's unconstitutional, at a minimum, whatever time the defendant would have served under that unconstitutional law, that should be their minimum sentence. If the guy could have went maximum to jail for 10 years, that judge should go to prison for 10 years. And I said jail, I mean prison. He should go to prison for 10 years. I believe that about anybody that falsely accuses somebody or falsely uses power to convict somebody. Prosecutor knowing what they're doing and they like withholding evidence, right? Like Cackles. Cackles should be in prison right now. Not for anything she did as a senator or the vice president, at least not as I'm speaking right now. Withholding evidence that could have exonerated someone that you're prosecuting should put you in prison for the duration minimum that that person faced if convicted. And if you did it multiple times, you just start adding that shit together and no concurrent sentences. You did it to 10 people, 5 years each, 50 fucking years, goodbye Cackles. That's what should happen, but it never does it? Has anybody ever seen a prosecutor accounted or a judge accounted for doing this shit ever? I haven't. They allow partisanship to affect decisions. The average Supreme Court decision should be 9-0. The average Supreme Court decision should be 9-0. Period. Why? Because in the words of Neil Gorsuch, the Constitution says what it says and doesn't say what it doesn't say. And I think he was actually quoting Scalia when he said that. And that's the truth. Whether you agree with it or not, and I don't just mean them, I mean you and me. The Constitution is the contract by which we run the country, and it either says a thing or it doesn't say a thing. And if it doesn't say a thing as to the government having a power, the government doesn't have the power. And if it does say a thing, then it says the thing that it says. And if it puts the burden on the state, the burden should lie with the state, not the person defending themselves. But they do it all the time, don't they? How many 5-4, 6-3, 7-2, et cetera, decisions have you seen? They should be the exception, not the rule. And to some degree, they are the exception. But do you notice they're always the exception with politically hot topics? They're never the exception with anything that's not got a lot of eyeballs on it. Right? If you go and you look at the Supreme Court's history of decision and cases, you'll find that the majority of cases that the Supreme Court had heard that didn't get heavy media coverage either ended 9-0, 8-1, something like that. The vast majority. Because when they're judging it based on the law, people that are that smart at that level tend to actually get it right. But when they're judging it based on emotion, all of a sudden the contract that is the Constitution that they swore an oath to doesn't, so we don't trust them. So basically, we can't trust the pharmaceutical company, the news, the federal and state governments, science, doctors, big medicine, the military, courts, and judges. And I could have made that list longer, but I don't want the show to go 2 hours like it did yesterday. Green Country said he agrees with sending them to prison, but they should have to pay for their own prison stay. That's actually happening more and more anyway. But why is this good? This sounds pretty fucking bad, doesn't it? Why is it good? Well, they were always corrupt. But now more people know it. Now more people know it. And this is something that, you know, I'm going to save my thoughts on autistic libertarians and can't win for a minute. But I am going to say that the same people that have been preaching not to trust these organizations now are the ones that have the hardest time accepting the fact that people have lost faith in the institutions they've preached against for 20 years. They can't take it as a win that that happened, that they got what they've said they wanted for decades. But they were always corrupt. At least more people know now. Even during our highs, even during, like I talked about the 90s with some pretty a lot of nostalgia there. The 90s were a pretty good time to be a young person in America. All this shit was still going on. It just wasn't as visible. So it's good that people know, because you can't tear it asunder as long as people believe in it. As long as people believe in it, we'll protect it, we'll defend it. You protect what you believe. Even people that know it's flawed, if they believe in it at the core, they still believe we should fix the house instead of demolish the house and completely rebuild it. So that's a good thing. There's never been a time where the average person had a bigger voice. Here I am right now. I'll talk to, you know, this message will reach 150, 200,000 people over the next week. I'm just a redneck hippie duck farmer with a podcast. I get told how insignificant I am every time I voice my opinion and somebody doesn't like it on social media. And I agree with them. I still have more influence than you'll ever have. I'm not that important, but I'm way more important than you are as far as getting the message out. But you could be getting your message out if your message actually made sense and resonated with people. Maybe you should try that. Right now, you have the ability to tell others what's going on. When I said yesterday, I'm disappointed in my own audience that no one seems to care about the cabal between DaVita and the American Diabetes Association. I had several people telling me, but I just don't have that many people to pay attention to me. So tell the ones that you do have paying attention to you. And when it comes to social media, not just for me, but for other people you follow and you like what they have to say, and you think I only have 20 people that are following me, but every time you repost and share what we're saying, you help us reach more people beyond your own, because that's how algorithms work. So get involved, whether your voice is heard directly or indirectly. You need to be saying these things if you believe them, because remember, I don't tell you what to think, but how. But if you're like, yeah, this can't be trusted, that can't be trusted, you need to be saying it, and you need to be reposting the things and sharing the things that are out there, especially with people that you're one off from. Your brother will probably listen less to you than the person you worked with at your last job. Hey, have you seen this? That's all you got to do. But there's never been a time where the average person had a bigger voice. And some people that are just average people become really way bigger than me. Oh, we have a former MMA fighter and reality TV host that is the most powerful voice in media across the planet right now in Joe Rogan with a podcast. And he brings the kind of people that tell the truth about this shit on and lets them tell their story. We need 1,000 more people like that. if we're going to win this fight. The real information is available to anyone who will look for it. Now, there's a lot of, you know, disinformation and misinformation in the alternative sources, too. But there's windows everywhere. Go look out the fucking windows. Stop looking out one or two windows. And you know the biggest problem we have with people? They know if they look out that other window on the other side of the room that it's not going to look the same as it does out that window. They're very comfortable with the way things look out that side of the window. It's everybody's fault but mine. Somebody else did it. Orange man good, cackles bad. Cackles good, orange man bad. Maybe you should look out both windows. Well, I can trust the rank and file FBI agents. Yes, and you will say that right up until they... Hi, ma'am, I'm with the FBI. Can I come in? If you have any brains at that point, you say, do you have a warrant? No, then piss the fuck off back where you came from. But you'll say it, and saying it has power. Don't let that power work against you. What you say internally and externally has power over how you think. So when you say stupid shit like, but the teachers are trying really hard in school, and you know it's not true. Young new teachers try really hard. By the time they've been there 5 or 6 years, they don't fucking try hard anymore. 1 in 100 maybe do. The average teacher just has a fucking job just like you do. Right? The person who has a job bolting wheels on cars is probably more attentive to the detail of their job than the average teacher. I know you're triggered now and you're angry, but it's true. Go to a school and walk around. If they'll let you, which they won't, that should tell you something. Why is it all the homeschool kids and alternatively educated kids that are like kicking ass in the science fairs and shit like that? Why? Because independent learning is more powerful. And it isn't the teachers, just like the doctor. That your doctor is not the reason that your doctor is not really a good doctor when it comes to looking after you. The system he's in is. So it's not an individual attack, but the average doctor walks backwards into an exam room long enough to justify billing and gets into, because if you do that enough, you can afford the neat new BMW for your daughter and send her to college. And you can afford the country club membership and all the other shit. People respond to incentives. Those incentives are angled against the good of society today for the benefit of the people in power and individual class benefit as well. All right. But the real information is available. There's never been a time where you can more quickly fact check things. And a lot of times, even what the media says isn't necessarily false, but it's presented in an idiotic way. When they caught the Giovanni or whatever the hell his name is, the Italian Luigi, that capped the dude from United Healthcare in Altoona McDonald's yesterday, they said he went to McDonald's and presented a fake ID. And a whole lot of people that know not to trust the media and the government and the police departments and the FBI and all of it said, wait, who the fuck goes to McDonald's and has asked for ID? It ended up being the truth. He did go to McDonald's and he did present a fake ID, but not to the people that work at McDonald's. So some dude is sitting in the McDonald's who's like a customer. He looks over and sees this dude and says, that looks like the dude on TV. He goes to one of the employees at the McDonald's and says, that dude looks like the dude on TV. The McDonald's manager calls the police and says, hey, we think the dude you're looking for is here. The police officer comes, talks to him, and says, hey, have you been in New York City recently? The dude starts shaking and acting really weird. So the police officer asks him for ID. He gives him an ID, and it's a fake ID. Okay, that's and what people say, well, you know, sometimes the media is working as hard as they can. They don't really have all the facts. Then you don't fucking report it if you're actually a fucking journalist until you have all the facts. And you present it in a way that's logical and consistent with what actually happened. But we already know you can't trust the media. So we need to get our – see, how did I get that information? I asked a question, why would you do this? And I looked for an answer, and I found it relatively quickly. We need to do that with everything. If you're going to make any decisions in your life on it, like, oh, wow, there's this illness. I better go get a vaccine. Get a vaccine. You ever say that? There's an illness, and you go get a vaccine. But the illness they're talking about, the vaccine's not for the – what the fuck are you talking about? They do this shit all the time. get your own information and get a lot of sources of information, compare them, and come to a logical, non-emotional conclusion. It's hard to do sometimes to be non-emotional when they activate your fear or your anger. See, Star Wars was actually right about that. Fear and anger are powerful, but they work against you. They work against you. Now, if you have logic on your side, anger can make you strong when properly directed. The problem is fear and anger inevitably direct your action in the wrong direction. It's not that fear and anger in and of themselves are bad. It's that if you're led by fear and anger, it's bad. And what I mean by that, you're standing on the edge of a road. You're on a side of the road where the traffic's coming from behind you. The traffic coming at you shouldn't be a danger to you. There's no one coming behind you. It's a gravel road. You can hear it. And a guy's swerving and he's coming on your side of the road. You don't sit there and go, I should be fine. Fear takes over. You get the fuck out of the way. Fear is good. Anger can drive you to proactive action if it's righteous and well-directed anger. But when you act in blind anger, you usually end up directing your anger at the wrong person. The people that are in power are completely aware of this. Why do you think you had real-time death counters on the TV set? Because it activated what? Your fear center. Why do you think they told you the unvaccinated were the problem? Why did they tell you the people that didn't believe in the 6-foot distancing rule were the problem? Why do you think they told you the people that told you a cloth mask cannot block a virus were the problem? What center did that activate? A little bit of fear, but more anger. How do you think they got half the country buying into a ridiculous narrative? The activation of the fear and anger centers of the human mind in absence of logic to guide it. It is that fucking simple. It is that simple. And the reason it's hard to accept the simplistic is the more simple something is, the more the mind repels it. Henry Ford said that about the way the U.S. currency is produced. The reason, like, there's a misattribution where he says, if the people of the country understood how the currency was produced, there'd be a revolution before tomorrow. Never said it. It's a misattribution because I looked out all the windows and found that out. Couldn't find any documented point where he said that. What he did say was that the way by which the currency is created is so simple, the mind rejects it. It seems complicated, but it's not. I'm not going to get into how we create dollars. But it's completely preposterous that we would do it that way. But the way it's done is dramatically simple. And so your brain says something that's fucked up can't be this simple, and you reject it out of hand. That's what they do. They use simplistic lies so that they use simplistic systems so that the truth is also simple. The mind will reject the simplistic and it will grab onto the anger and the fear. Very simple. Very simple to understand. Crockpot Broccoli says Henry Ford was based before it was based to be based. Henry Ford's why you have a 40-hour week, not fucking unions. I'm just saying, and I could go on, but I won't. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to lionize Ford. He was a good guy. He was also an industrialist scumbag, so he did good and bad both, like most people, including me. All right. So the other thing we need to do is we need to show our results. I'm going to ask again, how many people out there are healthier today because you took the dietary advice to people like myself, Ken Berry, Sean Baker, Mark Sisson, you know, Weston A. Price, not even full-on keto, carnivore, paleo, anything that is exactly the opposite of what mainstream tells you to eat? How many people's lives are better because of that? Just say me if that's you, and we'll wait for that to come in. But we need to have a system where we get better at showing our results and lived experience, because there's nothing you can argue with that. I want you to think about something totally divergent from health for a second, at least partially divergent, for what I'm talking about. How many of you maybe looked at one time at permaculture and thought it was a bunch of weird hippies rolling around in mud or something? But when you looked at the results of a permaculture garden, said, well, it works. Like, I got nothing. Like, I'm going to learn about this because there it is. See, that's the beauty of this. Like, for all of the advertising that, you know, things like Solabella, which is just a version of liposuction, right? So, yes, you'll look skinnier if we mechanically suck the fat out of your stomach. Sure you will, right? But go look at the reviews. You see how many people have been disfigured in Maine doing that shit, right? Or you look at Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or any of the shit. All the stories and shit. Go look for a YouTube channel where a person tells you about how their life has been great for the last 10 years because of Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or one of the meal services. It's all manufactured. But if you go start looking for people who have changed their life with keto, carnivore, primal, paleo, there's millions of them. And they have pictures. Here I was and here I am now. And here I am 5 years later. I look as good or better than I did after I lost all the weight. I have longevity. You can't argue with it. Here's my, how many people have shared lab results? Here's all my lab results. Here's my A1C at 6.1, officially type 2 diabetic. Here's my lab results at a 5.4 A1C. Completely healthy, 80 pounds lighter. Lots of people. There is nothing that you can do more powerful than demonstrate results. Here's all these people that did what you said and they're sick. And here's all the people that didn't do what you said and they're well. How can we be taking advice? Like American Diabetes Association, I'm not going to bring the whole DaVita thing up again. I'm just going to say they have this spokesperson that's their official dietary spokesperson. She's out all the time in these videos telling people what to eat, how to portion their shit, showing people a picture of a fucking plate with marks on it. This much should be grains and breads and stuff, and this should be meat. And this, like, she's got three chins. This is how little they give a fuck about you potentially having the ability to think for yourself. You'd think if they actually wanted to sell you on this idea, they'd just hire a good-looking chick that's skinny to do this. But no, they put a freaking obese person in charge of giving you advice as a diabetic about what to eat. We need to do the exact opposite. All the things that we do that work, we need to be advertising that we're doing them and they work. Being smart about how we do it. Don't do things that put you at risk of going to jail, okay, or prison, all right? And the other thing we need to realize to capitalize on this is these organizations, these entities, there is no reforming them. There's no reforming them. They can't be fixed. You're not going to fix the FBI. Will the FBI be better with Kash Patel running it than the current asshole running it? Yeah. No doubt. It's still going to be scumbaggery all the way through. And no matter how good the new head of the snake is, the snake's still a snake. And there's a hell of a lot of people in a hell of a lot of positions of power that guy will never even talk to or know what they're doing. It's too big. It's too bloated. The iron law bureaucracy has taken over it. And everybody that's in the FBI jockeying for position to move up is worried about getting the collar, getting the conviction, solving the thing, catching somebody, whatever. Not because they want to do it because it's a good thing to do, but because you do that enough times while following procedure, you move up. And even if you fail while following procedure, you never move down. So we can't fix these organizations. They have to be destroyed or rendered completely impotent. And the only way that can happen is for the average person to go, no, don't trust them anymore. No confidence. It has to be a complete vote publicly, right? Amongst the general public, I no longer have confidence in anything you say or do, and I no longer trust you, and I will no longer cooperate with you. One of the things that's come out, and I'll tell you what, the whole CEO shooting, if it's not designed as a PSYOP, it's already becoming one. What they're saying, you'll hear this phrase, we can't do anything without the public. The person that identified him and the person that made the phone call are heroes. You're a hero because you said, hey, that looks like the guy on TV. Maybe we should do that's a hero. That's not a heroic thing. You didn't risk any. Heroes risk something for the betterment of humanity. You're not risking anything making a fucking phone call. If you're wrong, nothing happens. Cops come, ask the guy who he is. He says, my name's Bill. Here's my ID. They go, sorry, Bill. Bye. You didn't risk anything. You risk nothing. They're not heroes, but the PSYOP is see something, say something. In other words, in this case, this person probably did murder somebody, and that see something, say something was probably a good thing, but it becomes a blanket, right? Like vaccines. Vaccines are safe and effective. Which ones? All of them? They're all the same? One that we've had for 70 years that has 70 years of history behind it using old technology that we can look back and say, like, look at the incidence of disease go down. Okay, this kind of worked, right? And when people say, well, it's a natural decline, and you look at places where they didn't use it and it didn't go down, but where they did, okay, yeah, sure. And then relatively safe and effective, not 100% safe or effective. And people should be able to make an informed decision before you think I'm carrying their water. Jeez, please, who are you talking to? Because I know I'm going to hear that. I think if you don't want any vaccines, you should never have to get any vaccines. If the vaccine actually works and I want it, I'll get it and it will work. It won't not work because you didn't do it or it doesn't work in the first place. But this false equivalency is used as a weapon. They don't say this vaccine is safe and effective. They say vaccines as though they're uniformly the same. That a smallpox vaccine is the same as a modern flu or COVID vaccine. And they're not the same, even if they did both work. And they shouldn't be talked about collectively. But this is what they do. We cannot ever reform these organizations. They must be destroyed. So here's how we make the most of it. On one level, we need to ignore our autistic, myopic, libertarian friends. And again, I'm a libertarian. I'm just not that. Who can't handle winning. That can't handle winning. Orange Man beating Cackles is a win in many ways, if you are a liberty-minded person. It's not perfect. It won't fix shit. But it's better than the alternative. They can't handle it. And they do get really, really myopic. You know, a lot of them, the reason they can't accept it as a win is they just hate Trump. They just hate him. They hate him so much that they'd rather have it worse just to not have him. Just like a lot of people that are Democrats do, by the way. They just hate him. Hate him. And there's people that feel the same way about somebody like Cackles. God, I didn't want that woman. I didn't want to listen to her mouth for 4 years, let alone the shit she might allow to be done. Because I don't think she knew what she's doing. I think she's more hands-off than Brandon. At least Brandon tried. He just didn't remember. I think she was completely happy to just be there as a figurehead. You could put anybody in that position and let the deep state do what it does. But I don't have like a blinding hatred where I can't think rationally that, you know, the fact I'm upset that she breathed today, right? I'm upset that she touched her face or whatever. Like, people are that much. And you know where they really, right now, some really good, really smart libertarians are completely myopic. And I'm not making excuses for this entity, but Israel. Anything associated with Israel in any way must be hated 100%, and all logic must be jettisoned. We cannot listen to these people in their myopic viewpoint of things and their inability to accept a win. The truth is, the Libertarian Party's high tide line was the year that it was founded in the 1970s, and it's been a downhill run ever since, and they've won nothing. I'd love for that not to be true. But I'm no longer a child, so I put away childish things. And as a man, I deal with reality, okay? They never win anything, and they've lost for so long. When they do win by happenstance, they can't accept it. So we have to ignore that. On the other hand, they're not wrong. We need to understand what they're right about not expecting a better system to emerge on the other side of this. They're absolutely correct about that. What they're really doing is they're blinded by their own autism and their own anger and their own hatred. But they're also trying to help. They're just not good at it. And what they're saying is, don't get false hope. Don't think that because this thing, the pendulum swung in a direction that's beneficial, that now you can take your hands off everything and it'll be okay. They're not wrong about that. They're not. So the takeaway from that is not that you need to be politically engaged and active. You need to be doing all the shit we've been talking about, like your own research, setting up your own life, status jujitsu, building your own business, your own community, your own networks, your own forms of investing, thinking independently. You need to be doing all that for yourself and take this time of the enemy's weakness to build as much as you can as fast as possible. So they're not wrong. They're just myopic, and they're opposed to winning. They're miserable. They're like a bunch of fucking Eeyores. Hey, look, we lost these five things, but we won these 10. Oh, no, we didn't. Shut up. I can't deal with these people. People I love that I'll hang out with, that I'll drink a beer with. I can't listen to them talk about this shit because they're so busy worried about the negative, they can't focus on the positive and come up with an action plan. Even many of them that have action plans, okay? They have an action plan, but they're disassociating the opportunity that's now empowered, right? They think only the negative empowers them. Trust me, the positive empowers you too. Absolutely, the positive empowers you. And then we need to not just remove government power. That's good. It's great to limit and check the power of government, but educating people is far more powerful. Everyone responds to incentives, including governments, NGOs, giant corporations. They all respond to incentives. The problem we've had up till now, they've been able to manufacture their incentives. I actually want to do this. And therefore, if I manufacture an incentive that benefits me by doing this, then I can do that. But that requires faith. And what they got, again, 1945 to 1965, unprecedented faith in government institutions and large companies working with government. Because World War II, we won, we saved the world, yay, okay. Well, it was never what it looked like. It was never what it appeared to be. And what you have to actually do is you have to educate people that, yes, the government can be better. Organizations can be somewhat reformed, but they can never be trusted. They must always be doubted. And the minute they stray one degree off the reservation, you don't hold them accountable because that is fictitious bullshit. How? Right? People on the left, even Trump got elected, the ones that didn't completely lose their mind, they still say stupid shit like, well, now that he's here, I guess we have to accept it. But we need to hold his feet to the fire. You're not going to do anything. When Obama got elected, the conservatives said the same shit. We're going to hold his feet to the fire. How'd that work out? You didn't do anything. You don't have any power. Fucking Jizz Cheney is out today saying, if Trump has the DOJ investigate me, they'll be subject to sanctions. Bitch, like, Gandalf, you have no power here. You have no power here. You're not in government anymore. You have no power. You have no power to hold your feet to the fire. What you do have power over is your own life, your own choices. So when you do see things get better in government, that's nice. It's not done. And that's what our artistic libertarian friends are trying to tell us, that it's not done. Guys, if you're listening to me, if you're one of them, we fucking know. We understand. We can handle wins that are intermittent. We get that, and we can capitalize on them, right? Live free and separate from Liberty Cast. Absolutely. He says, I'm a libertarian Trump supporter because it's for the overall good. Trump was my third choice at best in 2016. But in 2024, if you were a voter, I'm not, so I don't have to play that game. But if you were a voter, it's the only choice you had if you cared at all about liberty. If you voted for Cackles or any of the third parties, you don't care about liberty. You want to feel like you care about liberty. You want to say that if you actually look at mechanically the things that it meant for one to win versus the other, you didn't care about liberty. You did, but you were so blinded by your anger and your hatred and your turn to the dark side, you couldn't see straight. Okay? We have got to educate people. We've got to educate people. We've got to make them aware. What we have to do is come up with a cure for Gelman amnesia. Gelman amnesia was put out by Michael Crichton. He was the creator of Jurassic Park. He was the creator of, ER. He wrote ER and created the TV show ER. Wrote a bunch of other really cool stuff too. He wrote a little article though one time about Gelman amnesia. And the way he described Gelman amnesia is, because when he wrote this a long time ago, people actually read the fucking newspaper, like real newspapers. kids went around and threw newspapers at doors and made money doing it, like that time of the world. You open the newspaper and you read an article. And the article is about a thing that you're informed about, and you realize the person that wrote the article and the publisher behind the article don't know shit. That it's either wrong or a lie. And you're like, and you write it off and you say, I don't trust this. You turn the page, you read another article in the same newspaper. It's on a subject you're not well informed on. You forgot what you knew, that they couldn't be trusted, and you trust it because it sounds right and you don't know anything, so you don't research it. We need to cure that. And we have to cure that through education and the way we handle it when people come to a reality. I know it's very tempting. Your friend comes to you and says, hey, man, did you hear fill in the blank? Whatever it is. It's about the COVIDs. It's about the vaccine. It's about the government. It's about some drug. It's about people getting sick using GLP-1s. It's about diet. It's about exercise. Anything that you've been telling that person for a long time. And it's very tempting to say, I told you so. What took you so long? Don't fucking do that. Don't do that. You know what that's like? That's like trying to get a baby to walk. They take two, three steps, and they make those first steps, and they fall on their diaper butt. Boom. And what do we say? Oh, that was great. Let's get you back up and do it again. When you do what I just said to a person that figured something out, well, it's about time. Something like that. What you've said is stupid, baby. You only made it three steps. You can't walk. Give up. Don't do that shit to people. What you should say to somebody when they say, I just found out, I just realized, I just learned, and say, wow, yeah, I've learned about that too. Tell me more about it. Get them to talk about it for a while. Get it. I know you already know it. I know they're not even going to get it all right. They just figured it out, okay? They're going to get it like half right, but at least they've divorced themselves from belief in the system. Listen to them. Get them talking. And when they've kind of said their piece, say, you know, I'm just wondering, if the people that run society, that run the media, that run the government, that run the organization, if they lied about this, is there anything else you think that they lied about? And then this is the hardest thing for people to do. It's the hardest thing I had to teach salespeople to do. That's a leading question. You know what you do when you ask a leading question? No matter how uncomfortable the silence is, you shut your hole. You shut up. You do not speak again until that person has uttered at least several sentences. There it is, 229 Mick. You shut your hole. You shut your steak hole, your pie hole, your beer hole, whatever it is you put in that hole most, you close it and you open your fucking ears and you get them talking. And if they're not ready to take the step yet, you don't push. Can't tell you how many big contracts when I was in sales I closed because I didn't push. Because when I realized that customer was closed, we talked about their favorite sports team. We made an agreement we'd meet the next time I was in town. And because I did that, they stayed receptive. And when the need did exist, when they were ready to act, I was the person they wanted to talk to because I didn't push. And everybody else in that seat, because they were a decision maker, was pushing. Okay. I was talking to CEOs and directors and shit like that when I was in that level of sales. But everybody is the CEO and the director and decision maker for their own belief systems. And you need to treat them like that. If you push, you get resistance. One of the things I used to do with sales training with my reps, I'd have to, especially when they'd never been through it before, so they don't know what to do. Everybody stand up. Okay, everybody pair off. Everybody look at somebody. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you kiss. You know, get them laughing. Yeah. Say, I want everybody that's on the left side, I want you guys to put your hand up. And then I want everybody on the right side to take your hand and push against the other person's hand. And 95% of the time, when the first person pushed against the second person's hand, the second person resisted. And I always said, I want you to do exactly what I say. Kind of like Simon Says without Simon saying. And what would happen when the one person pushed up, and I would say, hold on, stop. Okay, who was a pusher? Everybody put your hand up. All pushers put their hand up. Okay, if you were a pusher, And when you pushed on the other person's hand, you felt resistance. Leave your hand. All the hands stay up. And I'd say to the guys resisting, did I tell you to do that? See, resistance is natural when you're being pushed. Resistance is natural. So you don't push. You get them talking, you let them say their piece, and you hear what they have to say. And you only discuss the things they're ready to discuss. And you discuss it mostly by saying, well, what do you think about that? You act like a psychologist. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that? What do you think we could do about that? Those conversations educate, and that is the cure for Gelman amnesia. That's how you cure Gelman amnesia. You are like the antibiotic. You are not a cure. You're a catalyst to cure in these discussions. Here's what I mean by that. If you take a person with no immune system and they get an infection, give them all the erythromycin, tetracycline, penicillin, whatever you want, they're going to die. They're going to die. A person with no immune system has to be kept isolated. Sometimes people go through treatments that nuke their immune system, that nukes all their bone marrow, so they can have a bone marrow transplant. They can't have any contact with anybody. They're in a negative pressure room for months until their immunity builds back up because you can't treat them in the absence of an immune system. The antibiotic does not cure the disease. It weakens the bacteria that's causing the disease so the immune system can take over and do the rest. This is your job, is to be a catalyst, not a cure. You're the catalyst. The patient must cure themselves because they'll only believe it if they discover it for themselves. And the only way we can neuter these organizations for at least a few generations is to cure more than half the people of Gelman amnesia. That's the real thing that needs to happen. And until it does, all you're going to get is fucking, what is it with a Terminator, right? Terminator 2, where Schwarzenegger comes back as the good Terminator and the cop is the bad Terminator, and they blow the Terminator to pieces and then just reassembles. That's what government is. That's the fourth turning cycles. You think that fourth turning book's about you? That fourth turning book's about fucking government, boys and girls. That whole unraveling isn't the unraveling of society. It's the unraveling of the state and the rebuilding of the state. And because the state's being rebuilt, everybody feels good about it. And because it's been made smaller and it's been made weaker, it is more efficient and it does do more good initially, but it always comes back to being a fucking Terminator. It always goes back to being the hand of oppression. And taking a fist of oppression and putting a velvet glove on it might make you feel better, but you're still getting strangled to death. That's reality. We have to cure this. We have to use caution as well, attributing to malice what can be explained by incompetence. And at the same time, we have to realize there is nothing more corrupt and incompetent than the state, which means the state and its agents, right? They operate both with corruption and incompetence, malice and stupidity, both. And the problem is we make everything about malice and we fail to see incompetence, or we make everything about incompetence and fail to see malice. People have a really hard time understanding things with nuance. And that's why when you have a discussion with somebody who's waking up, you only talk about what they want to talk about. Because if you start talking about something you're not comfortable with yet, no matter how much nuance you use, they're not going to accept it. They have to self-discover. So I want you to start having more discussions like this. And I want you to, you know, I'm going to tell my friend about carnivore. Are you still fat? Are you sticking to it? Or is your house on fire while you tell them to put a smoke alarm in? They're not going to listen to you. I'm going to tell them how to grow their garden. And if your garden's all yellow and dead, they're not going to plant a garden like you tell them to. And I wouldn't either. You have to work within the confines of reality. And that means you have to meet people where they are. And you also have to be an example of where you're trying to lead people to. Because I'm not, just like I said about the lady from the American Diabetes Association, I'm sure she's a nice person. I don't mean to personally attack her. But I'm not taking dietary advice from someone whose fat has fat on it. Okay? Their fat is fat. I'm not taking your dietary advice. If you have more than one chin, I'm not taking your dietary advice. If you can't grow your own food, I'm not taking your gardening advice. If your house burns down every 5 years, I'm not taking your fire prevention advice. Bad things happen to people here and there as accidents, but you have a consistent track record of failure, then nobody should take your advice on what to do on that track record. Now, the other side of it, the person who had a track record of failure, who kept trying, and then found a way to reverse that, that's the first person you should listen to. So as much as it helps to have somebody fit, physically fit, tell somebody about diet and exercise the right way, you know what works even better? The person that used to be a fat ass. They have more clout because when the person always was fit, as far as you know, you're like, they got good genetics, they grew up working out, they're in the gym every day, whatever. But when you know somebody was really out of shape and they say, hey, look, you know, I exercise and all, but I'm not in the gym every day and I'm never hungry. And here's my results. Well, wait a minute. That's interesting. But that's our goal. Cure Gelman amnesia. It is the biggest epidemic of our time because almost everybody knows not to trust the government, the media, the drug companies, et cetera, with something. But when you can't trust somebody with something that's important, then you can't trust them with anything. And only a fool thinks that you can. Honest to God, only a fool believes that a person who lies about three things tells the truth about six others. But we've been made fools. And we've been made fools of by people that have enriched yourselves off of our foolishness. It doesn't have to continue. Anyway, with that, let me go ahead and wrap things up. I want to remind you of a couple ways that you can help promote the show and the work that we do. One, hey, you know what? When I talked about gardening, you can judge my results and you can see I do know what I'm doing. You can look at the videos I've posted for 16 years of me growing food. And if you want to learn how to do it the way that I do it and the way that I've improved it over those years, go over to homefoodsystems.com. There are three courses you can take. One on composting with bioreactors. That's only $40. It's a great entry-level course. One on principle-based permaculture design. I guarantee you can afford this course. You know why? Because it's free. It's 100% free. And how about backyard cover crops and soil secrets? That one is a hell of a deal. Billy Bond, who spent thousands of dollars to take Dr. Elaine Ingham's course. This isn't my words. This is Billy's words. He spent over $4,000 to take her soils course. He said he learned more that was relevant to actual action for the average person in my $80 course than in her $4,000 course. He said that on a live stream to his people. I didn't have any idea he was going to say that. I'm just saying, if you talk about value, I'm trying to give it to you here with an education. I also do item of the day reviews, and I've got one for you today. And had I reviewed it yesterday, I would have went on my Christmas list. It's a simple little thing. They're under $20, no matter which size you get. It's made by a company called Olietta, and it's a stainless steel olive bottle. I love this thing, and I'll tell you why. Apparently, I said that I've had three when I did my write-up, but when I looked it up in Amazon, I bought four of my previous version. I think I gave one as a gift. I only remember breaking three. But I had this really cool ceramic olive oil dispenser, and I really liked it. And then my wife broke it. And then I bought another one, and then one of my cooks at one of my workshops knocked it off the counter and broke it. And then at this workshop, the third one that I know I bought for me, I was cooking on the flat top with it, and I knocked it off the shelf of the flat top, and I broke it. And I said, self, why do you keep buying shit that you clearly can't not break, right? And I was like, I wonder, self, do they make a good olive oil dispenser that's made out of metal? Because if it's metal and it falls, it might dent, but at least it won't break. And I found this one. And guys, this thing is awesome. You should check out the write-up on it. Any cook would love getting this. Whoever designed this knew what they were doing. First of all, the top of it is kind of a funnel in of itself. And it has a breather tube. So when you pour your olive oil out of the dispenser, it doesn't glug, glug, glug. It pours completely smooth because air can get in. But then the stopper itself has a hole in it. And when you stop pouring it, the oil that runs down the little spout doesn't go down your bottle. It goes down the little funnel and back inside the bottle like it should. Freaking genius. Stainless steel. These are 16, 17 ounces, something like that. They're like 18 bucks. They make one a little smaller and two a little bit bigger. Great gift. Great product. Hey, hey, Alabama says, how easy is it to clean? Hot water, rinse it out, put it upside down, let it dry. It's stainless steel. It's oil, hot water, oil come off, done. Simple, easy. It's great. If you have a cook in your life that uses olive oil, this, Jack, I thought you were supposed to be carnivore. I am not carnivore. Never said I was. I am keto. And I believe that certain plant-based fats are actually healthy. Olive oil has been used for thousands and thousands of years. You get oil out of an olive by gently pressing the olive. That's all you do. And the oil that comes out, you can use the way that it is. Avocado oil, same. Coconut oil is pretty damn good, but it takes a little bit more work and it's solid. You don't need this for it. But olive oil or avocado oil, this is the thing. I like this size, and I'll tell you why. It's got enough volume that when you fill it, you don't have to do it again for a while, but it's not so much that you're worried about the oil going rancid while you're using it. So check these out. They come in different sizes. Some people have already said they're going to get multiples because they use multiple different kinds of oil. That's great. They also come in a copper and gold color, except they're not available right now in that, so you might want to keep an eye on that. What you could do is something color-coded around the neck if you wanted multiples to keep things separate easily. What would work really good for that are little colored tie wraps. I always keep those around. They're not very innocuous, so they wouldn't look out of place, but I'll tell you what I use them for. When I am brooding birds and I want to know which bird is which, I use them as leg bands until they get to a certain size, and then I cut them off because they're cheaper and more effective than leg bands. That's what I use them for. All right. So with that, do I have anything else for you? Oh, yeah, I do have one more thing for you today. The TSP Swag Shop is back in business, and we only have a few designs, and I wanted to show you a few of them today. I'm actually wearing one. But it's I'll show you which one I'm wearing in just a minute if you're on the video. But, you know, it has this little TSP logo on the front. The big image is on the back. Some people like shirts with big images on the front. I'm more of a minimalist there. I like the larger image to the rear, so that's what I tend to wear. It doesn't really work for the camera very well. But this right here is the one that I am wearing today, and I love this shirt. I think this would make a really great gift for a lot of people, even if they don't know anything about the survival podcast or care. It is better. I'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And the image on the back looks very similar to the Sentinel that we had years and years ago with the silver Sentinel coins. I think this would be a fantastic shirt for a lot of people. And we have some other ones too. That's just, you know, one of them. And let me hear, we get the better view of the design. And they are a great quality shirt. Tom, the web guy, is in charge of the store, sourcing everything. I gave him the swag shop because the last people didn't do a really great job, in my opinion, with it. But that's a fantastic one. And the Strike Ready with the coiled snake. Strike Ready, Survival Ready. That's a pretty damn good design. And then I love this one right here. For those who can't see it, it is a fading red 1984 overwritten with a bright, brilliant 1776, and I think that speaks for itself. So if you haven't checked out tspswag.com in a while, maybe do so. With that, I will wrap up and sign off with you guys today. Tomorrow, I'll have Charles Mayfield on. For the third time on TSP, we're going to be talking about livestock, specifically pigs, and human skincare, and how things like pig fat actually are better catalysts for skincare products than all the chemical shit they put in bottles and sell you for lots of money online. And we'll be talking about, I'm sure, homesteading and pastured livestock and all the other stuff that goes along with it. With that, take care. I'll catch you tomorrow with that episode with Charles. Just run you. They said you should have a house the American way.
dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.